some of you have learned before, on Shabbos, we don't prepare for after Shabbos. Not just Shabbos. Yom Tov, we don't prepare for after Yom Tov. Yom Kippur, we don't prepare for after Yom Kippur. Even Shabbos, we don't prepare for Yom Tov. And Yom Tov, we don't prepare for Shabbos. Specifically, when it comes to Yom Tov and Shabbos, it's a little more complicated. There's something called an Eruv Tavshilin, which will allow us to cook from one to the next. But that, I'm not going to focus so much about that today. But that's an exception to the rule. But in general, we don't prepare from one to the next. Why not? This is a bottom line halachas. I'm just going to give you the general idea. We're not going through the lumdus so much in this particular class. Simply because Shabbos, the rabbis wanted to be a day when you focus on Shabbos. The lamashal I like to give is imagine you're on a date. And then you sit down to dinner with this lovely first date girl or guy, and you start talking about your next date with the next guy you're going to go on a date with. Now that's not going to go so well, right? I mean, it's a pretty awkward thing to talk about. You're on a date with this girl, just enjoy the date, you know? So if you're in Shabbos mode, you're in the Tachlit Maaseh Shamayim Ma'aret, you're in the most special time to be in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're thinking and you're talking and you're doing stuff for after Shabbos, so then that's a problem. And so, since I think we understand that intuitively, so the rabbis instituted certain laws which would make sure that we focus on Shabbos, with a few specific exceptional situations where one would be allowed, if it's not too big of a deal, to kind of prepare. And we'll get to some of those exceptional situations. Okay? Clear? Yeah. Good question. So the answer, we're going to get to it, but I'll skip right to it. The answer is, what do you girls think? Yes or no?
I say yes, because for me personally, it's how much I was to feel like I'm coming into everybody's.
Oh, so we have a yes position. Good. What about?
Because I think it could lead to, like, let's say, like, you're organizing, you make piles, you separate things. It could be, like.
It could lead to other issues, like borer and stuff like that.
Muksa
could come up, certainly. So the answer is, you're both right. It depends. Okay? So the answer is like this. If the only reason you're cleaning your room is basically to prepare for after Shabbos, right? Like, you know, you're going on a big trip Motzei Shabbos and you want to get your room clean so that all is in order so you can, you know, head on out. So then that indeed is exactly what Hachana is, and that would be a problem on Shabbos. However, if you're just doing your bed because you like having a nice bed set on Shabbos. To you, that's Kavod Shabbos. That you should have a Mechubadik suite, nice looking bed. So then that would be permitted to do on Shabbos. It's not about preparing. It's just about putting things back in order, so to speak, in honor of Shabbos, right? And this is going to come up also with clearing your table. The same breakdown. So there still are going to be the laws of muksa. There still, you have to navigate if certain things have no use on Shabbos, and that makes them muksa, so then you can't necessarily always touch them, always move them. You have to know what things you can move and what things you can't. That's a hilchos muksa shir. Not everything is permitted, but let's say in your bed, there's no, you know, your bed's not muksa. You can use your bed. So you can make your bed if you're the type of person like my wife is, and most people that like having a clean room. If you're the type of guy like me, who doesn't care really at all if your bed is not set, because you're a male, and that's how many males are, so then you shouldn't make your bed. But if you're a male married to a female, then maybe you should make your bed, because that'll make your wife happy. And that's very important, too, for your owning Shabbos. Or you can let her make the bed if she's really nice like that, and that's a great way. So you guys will work that out at the right time, the making the bed discussion, Ms. Rathashem, on Shabbos. Wait, we'll get back to your question in a moment. Yes.
What if, just an empty bag to put stuff in on the floor.
So you're just kind of putting it away. So the answer is yes, because you're just putting stuff away. Look, if you're just putting it somewhere, and the most convenient place to put it is in the bag, So then that's okay. Similarly, if you have Sfarim around and you just want to have a clear table for your Shabbos meal, so you can put the Sfarim back in the closet. Oh, you're really preparing because later you're going to want to use that safer. But yeah, but you're not really preparing. You're just putting it away, and the most convenient place to put it is over there. Similarly, if you have a dishwasher and you just want to put the dishes into the dishwasher, some say, wait, that's too obvious. You're obviously preparing to do the dishes for after Shabbos. But other rabbis say, well, if you have no other place to put it and just a place to put the dishes, then it would be similar to the Sfarim back into the closet scenario. So here too, if you're just putting the clothing away because it's the most convenient place to put it, then yes. But if you are honestly, there is a closet right over there. You could throw the clothing onto the closet and you're putting it in the bag specifically because, you know, it'll make your life easier later after Shabbos. And that would be a problem because your intention really is hachana. And that is problematic on Shabbat Kodesh. Make sense? So you're saying it's more convenient to put it in the bags and then do whatever is more convenient. Whatever is the most convenient and is a normal thing to do would be permitted to do. Okay? Similarly, if you have food out on the table, you could put it back in the fridge. Or, logically, why are you putting it back in the fridge if you think about it so that it doesn't go bad, which is preparing for after Shabbos? But that's just the rabbis didn't consider that hachana. That's just the normal way in which Jews put food back for their Shabbos table is you put it back into the fridge, and that would be permitted, not a problem. Okay, so that's good to know. Yeah?
How is flushing the toilet not an issue for?
Flushing the toilet is separating the bad from the good. Interesting. But I don't want to get too many nitty-gritty details, but it seems like you're doing it to create a clean space. You're not doing it because you're specifically to get rid of the bad food. You just want to get rid of everything. But yeah, I haven't thought about that. It's an interesting question. I've never thought about that one before. Mopping the floor, sweeping the floor, all of these are the same type of issue. Of, yeah, I'm saying it's permitted. Even though in my camp they didn't allow us to do it. But you really are allowed to do it if you're doing it for the sake of creating a clean, nice space on Shabbos. There's no malacha involved in it. And as long as your intention is just to create a nice space on Shabbos, it's fine. Again, if your intention is really, it's the end of Shabbos. Sorry, Shalosh Shudas time. So why are you clean? It's not because it bothers you, but you want to have it nice and clean so that you have less work to do Motzei Shabbos, then that is a problem. Okay? So especially when you get closer towards the end of Shabbos, you have to be honest with yourself and ask myself, am I really doing this for Shabbos, for Kavod Shabbos? Or am I doing this because I want my Motzei Shabbos to be a little bit nicer? So that's, we have to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves that question. Okay? Now, a similar question arises when it comes to dishes, washing the dishes on Shabbos. So you can already probably do the breakdown of, can I wash the dishes or not? Yes. Leah says yes. Why yes?
Or I'm going to wash your food. Well, it's not like preparing for after Shabbat. It's preparing, what if you want to have a meal that you want to do Shabbat?
So first of all, our first leniency is if you're washing dishes on Friday night and you're going to have another meal on Shabbos day or Shalosh Shudas, or even Shabbos day before Shalosh Shudas, so then you're not, you're preparing for the next meal on Shabbos, and that's fine. No problem.
So, you don't know when you're going to want to eat, not even the meal,
All right, maybe just...
Not necessarily after Shabbat or before Shabbat. It's whatever the next time you're going to want
to eat. Yeah, you might just want to. Oh, but here's a scenario. You have a lot of dishes. You have tons of dishes. You don't really need those dishes for your Shalosh Shudas or your lunch meal, or any meal. So can I still do the dishes that are in my kitchen sink? Or maybe not. Maybe in that scenario, I shouldn't be able to do the dishes. So what does our survey say, our halachic survey? Still yes. So your tamidot chachamot, you have to give me a reason why. Why should it still be permitted to do that?
The wife decides, she likes her house to be clean, doesn't remember, she throws the dishes in, like, it bothers her that they're dishes. So she, it's part of her Kavod Shabbos that she, like, walks past the kitchen and it's clean after the meal. So you're allowed to because it's, what's that called again?
It's Kavod Shabbos.
No. Is it like, making peace.
Shalom bayit.
Shalom bayit. Because you have to make your wife happy. And if she decides that, like,
yes,
she wants her kitchen to be clean, then she's allowed to her dishes.
Exactly. So that's exactly the analysis. It depends. If you're the type of woman, like I'd say most women are, that likes to keep her Shabbos table, her Shabbos kitchen smelling nice, and it bothers her when she sees this full of dirty, grimy dishes in the sink, then she would be permitted to clean her dishes, okay? Because it's not, you're not doing it preparing for after Shabbos, you're doing it for Shabbos itself,
okay?
However, it's important to note that if you're not that OCD, that's not the right word. If you're not, you don't care. You're a chill woman. Maybe the kitchen is all the way in the other room and you have a big house and it really doesn't bother you. Then you really shouldn't do the dishes in that scenario. You really should wait it out until after Shabbos. Now, if you're a husband, and us husbands most of the time don't really care that much about the dishes in the sink, aren't fine to do it on Motzei Shabbos. But your wife does care about the dishes. So like you said, for Shalom Bayis, it bothers me that my wife should be sad. We're like one now. We're one unit. And so I, too, can do the dishes for her or with her.
Can you use hot water?
Better not to use hot water on Shabbat.
Can you?
It's complicated. It's a complicated shaila because under certain scenarios, when you use hot water, you're actually making the water, you're cooking it.
Yeah, so you can do shower, no?
The same reason we generally don't use hot water in a shower. Now, why do I say it's complicated? Because there are certain exceptional situations where they actually heated up all the water before Shabbos. And that's what they do, for example, in the mikvah. You know, they have hot mikvahs open on Shabbos. But in general, we assume that our house is problematic. And there is like a high likelihood that there may be cooking on Shabbos. So we try to avoid using hot water in our sinks on Shabbos. On Yontif, on the other hand, it would be permitted. Because on Yontif, you're allowed to cook. Okay, so there wouldn't be a problem heating up water in your sink. But on Shabbos, it would be a problem. Yeah. So, yes. Technically, first of all, on Yom Tov, it's not a problem because you could use hot water. And as we just pointed out, the whole issue is just the hot water. So then why can't I do a cold shower on Shabbos? So what I'll tell you is some rabbis do permit it under extenuating circumstances when it's tough for a person without the shower. I already alluded to the fact that in a mikvah, people bathe on Shabbos. Chassidim go to the mikvah every day, or even anyone who goes to the mikvah every day, like me, I usually go. So we go to the mikvah on Shabbos, and you have to go to a cold shower before you go to the mikvah. So it's fine. So people do cold showers on Shabbos, yes, but still, in general, some rabbis are queasy about it and will encourage you not to take a shower, kind of a low plume type of situation. Like, we just don't want to get people confused. And in bathing, in general, there was a decree against bathing, lest you come to heat up water and all that, lest you come to squeeze your hair and all these other possible problems that could come up. So in general, we dissuade showering on Shabbos, but for a specific situation, go to your local Orthodox rabbi and ask him. I think you can wash everything. You just have to make sure that you're careful not to use a towel to squeeze, because you have to be very aware of not to do those malachas that you're not allowed to do in Shabbos. But I haven't heard of a difference between a hair and your head, but I'm not 100% sure. It's not the shiur that I prepared for today, so just off the cuff what my intuition is on it. By the way, we just made a random WhatsApp group of Q&A, so I can look into these matters and not just do it al regalacha in the future. We're going to do a quick attendance break while we have you right now, because I sometimes forget to do that, okay? Since today's Thanksgiving, you're welcome to say something that you're happy and appreciative to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Come up a lot, and will unfortunately come up in college. can I study for secular topics on Shabbat? And can I study for Jewish topics, Holy Torah topics, on Shabbat when I am studying with the intention of passing the test on Sunday? What do y'all think? Let's use our rabbinical. Let's start with the easy question. What about Torah? Can I study Torah on, why? Very good. So the rabbi said, even though your intention is maybe to study, your deeper, deeper intention is to learn Hashem's sweet Torah. And so that's permitted on Shabbos. No problemo. Okay? Now, what about secular stuff? What if you have a law test or a psychology test or a chemistry test? Am I allowed to open up the books on Shabbat?
No,
yeah, and I think yeah.
I mean, I do. So,
I do?
Yeah.
So that must be a token. So the answer is better not to, but it's a machlokes. So it's like this. If it's something which has some value, okay, which has a Jewish value, so one could argue biology, maybe one could argue chemistry or psychology, things like that, and you could say, I'm learning Ma'arabu Ma'asecha Hashem, so some poskim, shalom, are lenient in that situation and would allow a person to study on Shabbos for that. But first of all, you shouldn't say I'm studying. Even for the Jewish topic, you shouldn't say I'm studying for the test. I'm learning, exactly. And other poskim are machmir, and they say, you know what? Shabbos is like a special date with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It should be dedicated to Torah and not to secular topics. And so we'll save our studying for after Shabbos. So certainly, lichadchila, I would recommend if you could do all your studying Friday and Saturday night. And actually, you know, it makes, and especially when you're in college, it makes Shabbos more special when you're not worrying about the test. If Shabbos just becomes a day where we are just catching up on our studies, so it really takes away from Shabbos. If you can put Shabbos as that holy day to do holy things, so then that really is my advice, if possible, for both halachic and hashkafic reasons. But as I mentioned, there are some poskim who are lenient in extenuating circumstances. Let's say a person's in a really, my brother was in Cornell, and it's like the hardest college ever, and he literally could not pass. He could not survive if he didn't study on Shabbos. So he, you know, asked a rabbi, and he got a lenient opinion. So, like I said, it's a machlokas, and you can ask your rabbi in it, that particular scenario. I'll tell you a personal study. I avoided studying for secular studies all of high school, and then once I relied upon this lenient opinion, I caved in, and I studied for my AP bio test. It was biology, so I could say it really was like Ma'arabu Ma'asecha Hashem. It really was amazing to study for it. And what ended up happening is the college I went to, Bar Ilan, did not accept AP credits. So it was like Hashem saying, ha, take that. You didn't get anything from all that studies. So that was my funny story. I didn't end up benefiting from the fact that I passed the test. Maybe it's because Hashem was giving me a hidden message, but the simple explanation is because Bar-Ilan does not accept all the APs from American colleges. They only accept a certain minimal amount, but certain things, by the way, certain things I have to say, like, I'm a big fan, as you guys know, of positive psychology. And I find that it actually really enhances my Avodas Hashem, and sometimes I even derive Chidushim. So if you really feel like, genuinely, this is a service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're studying L'Shem Shamayim, I would say there's even more reason to be lenient. Okay. So it's kind of a case-by-case. You have to ask yourself, what, am I really doing this because it's going to connect me to more to Hashem, and I'm studying a little bit? Or am I doing it because I just want to study? And then if you can avoid it, I would avoid studying on Shabbos secular topics. Clear? Make sense? Okay. Another example which comes up is taking home a sitter from shul, or for us menfolk, a talis. You went to shul Shabbos morning, and you have a Shabbos talis, or you have a Shabbos sitter. So the question that the postman asked is, can I take that home from shul Or do I have to leave it in shul? What would be the rationale why I would have to leave it in shul? So essentially, you're basically just preparing for next week. There's no, you don't need that talis the whole rest of the week. You don't need it the rest of Shabbos. So you're obviously just preparing for after Shabbos. Nonetheless, the rabbis are lenient in this situation. Why? Because it's similar to the Sepharim situation. No one would think that you're doing hachana, that you're preparing for after Shabbos. You're just walking home from shul with the talis that you came with. You didn't even think twice. Until this year, you never thought twice about it. You just wrapped it over your head and whatever. So if you want to, so we don't make a big deal about it. It's considered so not a big deal type of thing that that's not considered chana for after Shabbos, okay? Fine. Good, clear. Here's an interesting question. What about rolling a Sefer Torah? Very often after we read the Torah, we have to roll it back or roll it forward for next week. Would I be allowed to do that on Shabbos? The answer is no. You're not allowed to roll because that is when people are asking, why are you rolling the Torah? You're rolling it for after Shabbos. Okay, so that would be a classic example of hachana, and therefore it would enjoy. That would be a problem. So we don't roll the Torah on Shabbos. We just let it be where it is, and after Shabbos they'll deal with. Yeah, really? Like, it could be that there are other opinions that I'm not aware of.
Do you find this song before Shabbos?
I mean, I have no idea what they do, but I would just assume you could have back what you bought.
Again, so if you're rolling it for Shabbos afternoon, then that's fine. But then maybe that's why they roll it for Shabbos afternoon and Shabbos morning. Because a lot of times, but if they're rolling it afterward for after Shabbos, so then that's definitely a problem. Okay, if you're allowed to prepare for Shabbos, another Shabbos. Okay? Right, that's actually the source for all this discussion of Hachana begins in the Gemara, which talks about folding taluses. That's where they get this whole discussion from. In the olden days, they used to fold taluses in a very fancy schmancy type of way. And so you're folding for after Shabbos, so that type of folding is problematic. But nowadays, we don't know how to fold our taluses fancy for the most part. We just do a quick old not so fancy talus roll. So the post can say it's not considered hachana, it's permitted, it's not a problem. That's the Gemara and Tosa, that's the original source of this whole discussion. Okay, another scenario is Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. You're not allowed to clean out the vessels of chametz with Pesach coming soon. So you have to get rid of all the chametz before Shabbos. That way you don't have to worry about on Shabbos cleaning out chametz. Okay, that's why when you have that Shabbos right before Pesach, you just do it chametz free. When does it become a little bit complicated? Shalosh Shudos, right? Because Shalosh Shudos, we are supposed to wash, ideally. We're supposed to eat bread. We'll get back to that in a second. Let me just finish my thought process. We're supposed to eat bread, but what's the problem with eating bread right before Pesach?
Crumbs,
and in general, we don't have chametz close to Pesach. Right? We stop eating chametz 4 hours after the morning. So it's a problem. Okay? So there's several ways to get out of that issue. Usually what most people do is you have Shalosh Shudos earlier in the day. You have a very early Shalosh Shudos at the time when you're still allowed to eat bread. And you have it in a very designated area so it doesn't get crummy and doesn't get all over the place. And then you can just immediately throw it away. And it's not considered a chana because you're just cleaning up. This is that one rare scenario, but does happen sometimes. It happens. And then you have a Shabbos going into Pesach. So you have to be aware of navigating, not doing hachana, but also not eating chametz, but also having Shalosh Shudos. So it gets a bit complicated. Shabbos is, Motzei Shabbos is Pesach, is Leil Seder. But it happens 40% of the time. So we do have to be aware of that. First, you asked and your question in a second there about is Shalosh Shudos obligatory? I'm pretty sure Rav Lerner is going to do a whole shiur about all the food-related thing.
Yeah.
Since my policy is when I was a student, and I got very frustrated when rabbis would not answer my questions. So I will always answer your question, but I'm not going to go in depth because I'll spoil Rav Lerner's shiur. The answer is it's better. It's better to have bread. The Shulchan Aruch writes explicitly that ideally one would have bread at their third meal. However, he also writes that if a person does not have appetite, is not hungry, then we may be lenient. He specifically says you can have mezonos. If you can't have mezonos because you're so stuffed, you can have fruits. If you can't have fruits, you could have some sort of shakal, and that you should be able to handle. And Chabad have a custom to not eat at all and just to learn Torah instead of the eating, but that's not what the Shulchan Aruch writes. That's a specifically Chabad custom that many Chabad people rely upon. And that's why we say, HaChacham Einav Berosho, the wise man thinks ahead and will try his best not to eat so much at Shabbos lunch during these winter days when Shalosh Shittos is right after Shabbos lunch. Ideally, you try to leave space in your belly so that you can have a kazayas of bread at your Shalosh Shittos. Okay? Yeah? You got a question, Eric?
You answered it.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Ruach HaKodesh. Look at that. Look at that. Okay. A few more really relevant. We spoke about making the bed, clearing the table. Did we talk about clearing the table?
No.
We said clearing the table is okay if it's on Shabbos lunch. If it's Shalosh Shittos, it's a bit complicated. If you're clearing the table, just so that it should be nice, because, you know, you did Shalosh Shittos at 4 o'clock, Shabbos ending at 5:30, you're done, and you don't want it to be messy. It bothers you. So then you can clear the table and make it nice. But if Shabbos is over in 5 minutes, so why are you really clearing the table? To prepare for after Shabbos. So then it would be a problem. So you could also do like a middle ground. You don't have to clear the table perfectly, because then you're obviously doing it for after Shabbos. But if it looks disgusting and it bothers you to have matbucha and hummus all over your Shabbos table, so clean off the disgusting stuff. But you don't have to perfectly clean it, because that borders on hachana. If you know your intention is absolutely hachana, to prepare for after Shabbos, then you should not even clear the table. Okay? Now, another scenario that a lot of people are not aware of for some reason, but it's a real, real isser on Shabbos, is, let's say you're going out Motzei Shabbos. So this would happen a lot in my birthright groups. They would tell them, which is terrible, they would tell them, go prepare your stuff, go get your clothing ready, because right after Shabbos, we're going to go out to town. And you want to have your stuff ready. Or let's say you're going on an airplane, you want to have everything ready. So go to your room and prepare your clothing so that you can... Exactly. Right. And I've seen this in many different scenarios that people do this. You should know it's a big problem. It's not really allowed on Shabbos to prepare your clothing for after Shabbos. Even if you say, what's the malacha of clothing? No, but when you're putting your clothing away, you're obviously, your intention is to do achana so that you can quickly run out after Shabbos. So there are certain leniencies. Maybe you could take out Shabbos, do a quick Ma'ariv and do a quick Havdalah to save yourself some time. These are some things that it's possible to do, but you're not allowed to, not earlier, not like before Shabbos is over, but you are actually allowed under extenuating circumstances to daven an early Ma'ariv so that you can immediately say Havdalah once it's Seita Kochavim, as early as possible. That's an emergency situation when you have a bus that's running out right after Shabbos and you're going to miss it. You can daven an earlier Ma'ariv and then do Havdalah right at Seita Kochavim. Okay? But you cannot prepare your clothing or anything like that, prepare your bag, when it's Shabbos for after Shabbos. I know a lot of people make that mistake. They're not aware. But you guys are aware that it's really an issue. Okay? Any other little topics I'm forgetting? We said studying Torah, washing plates, heating water. Good. You're welcome. Have a great day. And we spoke a little bit about how these halachas apply both on Shabbos and on Yontif. Okay? And putting food back in the refrigerator. Good. Very good. You're allowed to put pajamas on your little kids. That's not considered hachana, because the little kid, even on Shabbos afternoon, he sometimes walks around with pajamas. So even though ultimately he's going to go to bed in his pajamas, sometimes people wear pajamas beforehand. So,
can you give them that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the same way you'd be allowed to be the. Yeah, I think it's permitted for babies. I'm not an expert yet in Hilchos babies, but come back to me in 2 years, and I'll be more knowledgeable
on the
Bezerat Hashem. Okay, so we have 10 minutes, and we can do a little bit of Hilchos Boyer, unless there's anything else. Oh, G-golly. Yeah, she did wave to me.
She's so cute. That might go just like 2 hours.
Yes, well, that is her job. That is her job. So that she must be doing a fantastic job.
Yeah,
in that case.
She's the cutest.
That's the consensus. I've heard this from many, many, many.